Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. It is the IT Babble podcast. Episode 163. And I say that with strength because we have a strong agenda. I'm Patrick, and I'm joined, as always, with my good friend, who's on holiday of sorts right now and is in America.
I wouldn't call it a holiday. It was horrible. Not horrible, but it's grueling. The word is grueling, I guess, or exhausting. I am making a recruitment trip to interview for jobs.
And you've been all over the U.S. the past week.
Yes, right? I have. And I'm done now. I think I've done, let's see, if we count all the flights to get here, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. I'll have done 12 flights in 8 days by the time I get back to Korea.
So with all that flying, you must have some travel tips or some travel insights that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Here's my insight. Yeah. Don't travel. No, I don't know, man. I just I usually travel. I don't travel that much in the U.S. by plane. So usually in the summer, I fly into America and rent a car and I drive as much as possible. I just try to avoid flights. So usually when I fly, I'm flying around the world somewhere like in Asia or whatever. And I take for granted how it seems everybody else around the world is just a bit more organized with their domestic flights, except for mainland China, which I've seen it all on those flights where they like throw stuff at each other and fight. But except for like some, I would say, discount airlines in mainland China, the U.S. is definitely the worst for domestic flights. There's all kinds of stuff that drives you crazy, like The one thing that really drives me crazy is obviously the carry-on baggage. It's just denial.
Yeah.
There's no way the bag is going to fit.
No.
It never fits. And you always try to take it on, and then they always take it away from you. And it's just delays everybody, right? There's two other behaviors I don't like.
Go for it.
I don't like it when right before the flight, somebody who's been waiting, they've been waiting in the waiting area for like an hour, and 5 minutes before the flight, they go buy like a bag of Chick-fil-A to eat on the plane. And you're like, if you were on a big plane with business class and trays, that would make sense maybe. But you're sitting next to like two other people maybe, or one, and like, it's a really small, tiny little compartment. Like, you don't really need to fill it full of fast food smell. Come on. You could have eaten that Chick-fil-A before you got on the plane. And then the final one is the obsession with wearing your headphones all the time. That's just a safety hazard. You need to be able to hear people. There are just people. Like, I saw a guy. He didn't take his headphones off the entire time. From the time he got on the plane till the time he got off, he was doing everything with his headphones on. He went to the bathroom with his headphones on. I'm like, what is this?
Now, you know, I've done that before. I have, where I just put on the headphones and I just want to zone out. And I don't want to bother anybody, and I don't want anybody to bother me except for my wife or my kids, which is bound to happen.
No. Yeah, but probably what's happening is your wife is not wearing headphones, and so she is listening on your behalf.
This is true.
People are traveling single, and they have no idea what's going on. They're just bumbling around, and I can't think that this is very good for you physically either. Like, I don't know. I have headphones. I keep them around my neck sometimes so that I don't have to dig for them. Because I do have some padded ones that I prefer to wear for noise and stuff. But I don't keep them on the entire time. I definitely take them off if I go to the restroom. And I take them off when I'm deplaning so I can hear people asking questions like, can you pass this or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
I don't know. These are three things that I think all people can work on. Don't be in denial about your bag size. It is the size. The overhead compartment is also that size. There's no magic is going to happen. This isn't Harry Potter. And then don't bring fast food on the plane. Nobody wants to smell it. I guess finally, you know, headphones. Wear them when you're listening to stuff. Take them off when you're not.
Got it.
All right.
Perfect. So on today's agenda, we're going to be talking about HoloLens 2 and how Microsoft is now kind of approaching this. The Momo Challenge. I can't wait to get to that. But first, we're going to talk about something that I discovered on accident. It's probably been in Google Slides and Google Docs and Sheets for a long time, is linking. I found it. So a teacher came to me and she said, I'm making a slideshow on Google Slides, a fourth grade teacher. And she goes, I want each student to make their own slide. How do I put all of that together? And so we talked about a couple things. I wrote a fairly short post about it and about how it works. But really what happens is the student makes a slide, shares it with the teacher. The teacher then copies the slide and pastes it in her slideshow. And then if the student makes any changes, it'll say on that slide, oh, there's changes. Would you like to update? And you can update it, and then it updates onto the slide.
Oh, that's totally cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And what I found is that this works for, say, if you have, you make a like a pie chart or a column chart or bar chart or whatever, any sort of graph in Sheets, and you insert it into a Google Doc, the same thing applies. It links in there, and if the data changes, you can just update it right on the Google Doc. You don't have to delete it and copy it and paste it again. It's just super nice. It's so nice. It's just a really, really, really good little feature. I don't know when they implemented it. I'm sure it's been there for a while. It's just good. It's just another thing why Google Docs and Google Sheets and Google Slides are such a good product. They're just solid, and they work really well together.
All right. I'm going to try that with some students maybe next week.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and it works really well. It works really well. There were some issues with copying the slide. You have to go, there's like the thumbnail view on the left-hand side. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I select a slide and would hit Command-C or Control-C if you're Windows or Chromebook, sometimes it wouldn't copy. I'd have to use the mouse or the trackpad and tell it to copy it that way. But other than that, that was the only hiccup I ever had, and it works fine. And what's also great, Tony, is let's say the kid is doing all sorts of shenanigans, and you update the slide, and there's all sorts of gobbledygook on it now, stuff right. That you don't want to. You can just undo it, and it goes and it reverts back. So it's not as if your stuff is lost. It's great. It's wonderful. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Now I want to talk about HoloLens, if you don't mind. That was a real quick one.
Go for it. And HoloLens is a VR system that Microsoft's developing, right?
Yeah, more augmented reality or mixed reality, because you can see it's a see-through visor, so it's not like the
right.
Lenovo Mirage that we talked about, where
right.
it's just a screen right in front of your. So anyway, but Microsoft has been putting a ton of resources and development into this thing. And when they first unveiled it, they kind of unveiled it as, hey, this will be a consumer product eventually. And so they had a guy like walking through a mock-up of a house and watching a video and Skype calling people and checking his email and then playing some Minecraft. But this time, they're like, no, screw all that noise. This is for industry. That's who we're doing this for, industry. Some education, but mostly industry. So the idea is, this is for people who are out in the field working on their job, and a laptop gets in the way, or a mobile phone gets in the way, and they need to be able to communicate with people back in home office or communicate with a technician someplace. and they need those people to see what they're seeing. And here they've got this HoloLens that will let them see it. And so Microsoft is totally backing off this whole, this is not a consumer product. This is an industrial product that might right. have some education capacity, but, you know, whatever.
I think it's got to have to be at first because it's just the cost, right? I mean, it's just going to be too expensive until it gets big enough that everybody can afford it. And I think that's the main issue.
Yeah, and it's $3,500.
But I think I was just thinking, even in medical technology, this would be a game changer.
That was one of their demos where they had a surgeon practicing a surgery on a virtual cadaver or a virtual body, for example, and just going through the steps ahead of time. It's good. I like this. I like this approach to it because then a lot of times you've seen this, Tony, where new technology shows up and education jumps on it and they're like, how can we fit this into education? But then there's no support to it, right? There's nothing beyond education for that use. And so kids learn it and then they get into university or they get into careers and nobody's using that technology.
Right.
And so it just kind of withers on the vine, as it were. But this is good. You know, here, these are industries that are actually using HoloLens.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of first logical step to develop stuff like this, especially since you need new hardware. And I can already tell looking at this iteration of it, it's already smaller than the first one.
It is.
And eventually it's just going to be a pair of sunglasses. That's where it's going to go. I bet that whole back, I bet in version 3, the whole back part of it is gone.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised of that. They're using an ARM processor, which is, for people out there who don't know, those are the types of processors that you see in mobile devices, such as cell phones and tablets. And has a 3-hour battery life. And apparently it's very comfortable to wear, not very heavy for what it is. And before, all the way you would interact with holographic objects or virtual objects, I guess, was not very intuitive. But here they've really refined that process and have made it very responsive and very intuitive and just much, much better. Microsoft said that they are 2 years ahead of everybody else, every other company in this
field. I think that's true. Yeah. I was doing some reading earlier, and apparently even their actual kind of analytics and search engine systems for business that you have to pay for are much better than anything that Google has. That's what I've heard from different people.
Wow.
You can't use this stuff for free, but apparently Microsoft collects data on a huge scale, and they're really good at categorizing it, but it's just not this public free model.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I guess it makes sense. I mean, a lot of government agencies have been running Windows Core products for a really long time, so that's probably where it all started.
Yeah, and a lot of people, and myself included, have made fun of Microsoft in the past and taken lots of cheap pot shots at them. But I didn't realize this until about a month ago, but they are one of the top three most valuable companies in the world. And it's Apple, Amazon, and Microsoft. And they seem to, month after month, change positions.
Yeah, well, it's definitely something I think people take for granted because they're not making shiny little bud things that you wear in your ear so you can some microwave your brain while you're listening to your music.
No, I don't know if it's going to microwave your brain, but you're definitely going to lose one of those damn AirPods. And then where are you going to be? You're going to have to buy a new set for $200 because that's what the new ones are going to cost, $200.
I'll tell you, it would be an awesome prank if you could trick a bunch of students to plug all their AirPods in at the same time to charge and then get them to leave the room and then just randomly mix the AirPods up.
That would be awesome.
Yep, and then when they put them in, they'll be hearing everybody else's music in one ear.
I like that. That's awesome.
utter chaos.
That is awesome. That's why I love a headphone jack and why I love wired headphones.
Yeah.
Wired headphones.
I'm not giving up wired headphones anytime soon. Call me old, but I like them.
You know what, Tony? The latest version of the Samsung S10 flagship phone, headphone jack right there. I don't think it's going away.
It's useful. What if you want to plug your phone in to power like a stereo or something?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have Bluetooth. I don't know. Bluetooth just sounds bad sometimes too.
It does. It's and then of course if you walk too far away, then it becomes choppy and it's. I don't know. There's something about. No, there's not something about it. It's when you plug headphones in, you know exactly what you're going to get coming out at the other end, and it's going to sound good, and it's going to sound better than, I guarantee my headphones sound better than the AirPods, or any Bluetooth headphone for that matter.
Uh-oh. Bose accepts the challenge.
I haven't tried them. I heard they're really good, but I haven't tried them. But these are nice headphones. These are really nice headphones, and they're super comfortable over my giant ears. I have big ears. And they fit over my ears, which has always been a problem for me. So I'm really happy with these. Yep.
For our last agenda item,
let's do it.
I've been traveling so much, I haven't had time to inform myself, and I haven't blogged. And so what I'd like to do is, while you're talking about this, I would like to ask you interview-style questions related to these topics.
Okay, please do. And I'll answer to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, go ahead. So this next thing you have on the agenda, what is the Momo challenge?
Okay, so I woke up this morning and I checked my email, and I've talked about a service that our school uses that monitors Gmail and Google Drive for our students, and it alerts us of violence or cyberbullying or things of that nature. Well, they had sent an all-points bulletin to all the schools that use this, going, the Momo challenge. We've refined our algorithms, and if kids are mentioning it, you will be notified. So, the Momo challenge. Let me just read from the Wikipedia page, please, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. The Momo challenge is a hoax. Is a hoax about non-existent internet challenge that was spread by users on Facebook and media outlets. It was reported that children and adolescents were being enticed by a user named Momo to perform a series of dangerous tasks, including violent acts and suicide. Let me read the first sentence, part of the first sentence again. The Momo challenge is a hoax. Okay. All right. I don't want people to go, oh my God, they're telling people to kill people and kill themselves. No, it's a hoax. This isn't real. Despite claims that the phenomena had reached worldwide proportions in July of 2018, the number of actual complaints was relatively small, and no police force has confirmed that anyone was harmed as a direct result of it.
I have a question for you, Patrick.
Yep, go for it.
Where do you see the Momo challenge in 3 years from now?
I see it nowhere. In fact, in 1 month from now, I see it nowhere. But the media has kind of latched onto it, and online it has become a bit of a meme. On Reddit, you can see it on Reddit and all sorts of other places, probably Instagram.
I noticed that you mentioned the Streisand effect in the notes.
Yeah.
So basically what that means is the more you bring attention to something, the more attention it's going to get. So it's really important to kind of research stuff before you send out an all points bulletin, because if there wasn't a problem before, there will be a problem as soon as you overreact to it.
Yeah, so I'm a part in Indiana. I'm a part of this listserv of IT directors and IT coordinators throughout the state, and this was the dominant topic today. What are you doing about the Momo challenge? That was it, and one guy got on there and he said, "We're not doing anything about the Momo challenge because it's a hoax. It's not real." He goes, "The more you know, notification you give parents and teachers and students about this thing, the more they're going to go and check it out. Like the Streisand effect, like you just described. So,
anyways, you listed a couple other hoaxes here.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, on your resume here, I see that you once participated in something known as the Slender Man Challenge. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you talk about that?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So, Slender Man is a supernatural character that that apparently. I guess if you're walking in the woods, a Slender Man can show up and he's very slender and tall, and he will show up and kill you, apparently. And this also sounds very similar to the Momo Challenge of a kind of a deal. The news reported about it, about kids doing, you know, believing in Slender Man, and apparently, one girl tried to hurt another person in the States and said Slender Man told her to do it. I don't know if that was, if she really believed that the Slender Man really told her to do it. But the news kind of went all out of control about that. And then I happened to experience in 2016, in 2017. I was teaching, and I had a bunch of students come up to me one day and ask me about the clowns. Tony, have you heard about did you hear about the clowns in 2016 or 17?
I didn't. I'm kind of out of the loop, though. I'm not, like, in the clown, like, subreddit anymore.
Well, apparently people were, not just people, maniacs were walking around dressed up in clown makeup wearing, holding machetes and other weapons, and were killing people. Throughout the world, according to some of these people.
Sounds like that movie, The Purge.
It does. And just like The Purge, it is a complete work of fiction. There was not one, never one. But I had many a student come up to me and go, Mr. Cawley, you got to be careful going home. I was like, what are you talking about, Mr. Cawley? The clowns are out. My sister, who lives just north of this city, she saw some clowns with a knife at a bus stop. I was like, your sister saw this, or did a friend of your sister see this? Well, it was a friend of my sister who saw it, but she told my sister that she saw it. You know how, and you can see where it goes from there. Why do schools like instantly react when something like that's my big question. Why do schools?
I guess they feel like there'll be less liability if they warn everyone. But I think they don't realize that, you know, this is in some way it's the same as saying there's a fire when there's not. I mean, if you did that in public, you would get in trouble because you cause more damage because it's not true.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I think there's just a lot of adults, you know, like we're adults, but for some reason there's a lot of adults that don't know how to quickly verify if things are true.
This is
police departments and the FBI, anywhere in that's like a major city, they have like websites and stuff, and they actually put up their own information. You could literally just check that. I mean, I think if a bunch of clowns were walking around chopping people up, that would be on pages maintained by the police department.
Yeah. Yes.
Here's one I think that is really common, and it's from when I was a kid. Have you ever been told you have to be careful on Halloween because of razors and apples?
Oh yes, yes, I remember that. I definitely remember that.
There's never been a single case in the United States. Because have you ever tried to put anything inside of an apple? It doesn't work. No, it doesn't work.
It does not work.
I want everyone tomorrow to try to put like anything inside of an apple. And if you're successful, and do it in such a way that there's no way I would know you tampered with it.
And razor blades are very thin and sharp. So
like you would notice. It's not like you can put it in and then seal it up. It's an apple, but you can. talk to people today and they'll be like, oh, there's razor blades, you know, in Apples. It happened once. It's like, no, it didn't. That's never happened. So I don't know. I think we get this stuff like in our heads, and then it's really hard to not believe it because we hear it from so many people who generally have authority in other areas.
So I'm looking at an article right now from a local news station, and it says police are warning about several scams going around central Indiana right now, which is, for those of you who don't know, Indianapolis is right in the middle of Indiana. That's where I live. One of the more concerning ones, police say, it's being called the Momo and is being sent to kids online. But there it is. It's a scam. And then they say, and then they go on further on down. It says, it says that the Momo challenge has been linked to a girl's death in Argentina. You know, that's really suspect. I don't know. I don't know how. Did they call Argentina? I wonder. Is that really?
I don't know. But like, if
I've not heard that.
If you can verify that, that's fine. But then, even if you know that as an administrator, like, do you warn everyone? Because getting the full story is very difficult, and you could argue that some things happen culturally in certain places, and they don't occur. You know, they don't always occur everywhere equally, but. Yeah, I agree. Like, I think you just need to take a step back and take just a few minutes to research anything before you put like fear in children.
Yeah. And but it says, you know, none has ever been reported in the U.S. And then it goes on and talks about another scam that's a bit more serious. Another scam in Greenfield, Indiana, which is not too far from here, involves a letter claiming to come from Publisher Clearinghouse.
Mm.
And if you get a letter saying that you've won $600,000 from Publisher Clearinghouse, you should throw it in the trash. For people out there who don't know Publisher Clearinghouse, you have a chance to win lots of money by buying magazines. I believe that's how that works.
Yeah, I think the main things to just regularly educate everybody on is like the threats that it's not this kind of crazy stuff that's like a threat to your, at least to your data and everything. It's simple stuff like spam messages and like phone calls that you don't know who the number's coming from, so you shouldn't answer it.
Yeah.
Text messages that have an attachment and you have no idea where they came from. These are things that actually can lead to like identity theft and real problems. And, you know, they don't look scary. They just look normal. And you might click on something because you're busy and it just looks like something you normally click on. And those types of things get buried just because they're not as fun to talk about as these hoax issues.
Yeah, it's a lot. I agree. I think it's a lot more exciting if children are doing crazy and dangerous things online because this Momo challenge or whatever, you know, tells them to do it. But
so, Patrick, before we go, let me ask you a question. Think about a time when there was a hoax in front of you and you had to deal with it. What did you do?
Oh, well, the first thing I did was try to get a hold of the president at the time, the president of the United States, and I would not take no to an answer. I called that switchboard about, you know, for 7 hours straight until they just disconnected my number. I did some research. The first thing I do is do some research. You know, if I see a phone number and I don't know who that is, I don't answer it. If it doesn't, and then I do an internet search. I'm like, you know, who owns this number? Where is this number coming from? Is it coming from a business, like a vendor that I might be interested in talking to? Or, yeah, I just do a little research. I do a little research as much as I can. And if I can't find anything, then I figure it's not worth, it's not very important, and I just move on. I just leave it alone. Or I block the number from my phone.
What, you block numbers?
That's
so easy. I blocked like three numbers today. Just, Yeah, that's the same with like cyberbullying and stuff like that. I always try to get kids to like disengage. I'm like, you know, if you don't participate, it literally will just go away.
Yeah.
You know, you have to disengage from it, though.
Yeah, yeah. You got to walk away. If you don't walk away, there's no win. There is no outcome where you or whoever wins. There's nothing. As soon as you engage, you lose. You're not going to change this other person's mind. You know, it's not going to happen.
Correct.
Yeah. So, all right, but that's it. It's a short episode because Tony is tired. I'm a little tired, but it was a good episode. I think it was tight.
I think so too.
It's nice and tight. And Tony, I hope nobody brings fast food onto the plane when you have the long haul back to South Korea.
Yeah, it's less common on the international flights. I know they don't let them. I don't think they let them.
I would be.
They make them. They definitely make them pour all the drinks and stuff out. They don't let them take any of that stuff on the international flights. It's just the domestic ones.
Oh, the domestic ones.
Yeah,
man.
Because you eat immediately. Like after an hour and a half on the international flight, you have your first meal usually. So
that is correct. And then they have all sorts of drink service that's going on constantly. Constantly throughout the flight as well, so you can get plenty of juice and water or soda or whatever it is you need. So,
and usually unlimited cup noodle.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, on these like flights to Korea, unlimited cup noodle.
Wow,
just go to the galley and load up as much as you want.
Man, that is
it's a reason to fly.
That is great, right there. And I understand that the South Korean have some exquisite cup noodle, and I'm not being facetious about that. I heard that it's
they have
darn good,
good.
Yeah.
They do. They've got some tasty stuff.
As good as Japan, Tony?
No, I mean, come on.
Better than China?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's in the middle, just like the country.
All right. Nice.
All right.
All right, let's wrap things up. For IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
I'm Tony.
And keep on babbling out there, and we'll catch you on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.